ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am not these bubblegum dudes you're talking to.
Pedro Fernandez.
He will be mine in round nine. If he makes me sore, I'll cut it to four.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37 make that, 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found out that you, the average fan, knows more. So if you'd like to impart, I will open up the toll-free right now. Check this out. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. That's the studio 1-800 number. Of course, there's also the text line. You want to text us here in the studio? The number? 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, guess who's coming back today? The return. The retired HBO godfather, laryngitis gone. His voice is back. Larry Merchant will be here in about 10 minutes on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. In hour number two, I will bring in the baddest woman to ever walk the face of the planet. No, I'm not talking about Mother Teresa. I'm talking about Christy Martin. And why do I say that? Not because of her boxing prowess, because she was the woman's champion for a long time. No, not because of that. Because somebody shot her and stabbed her, and she lived. Bottom line is, that makes her the baddest woman on the planet, bar none. So Christy Martin will be here in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, the WBC, the World Boxing Council, is one of our sponsors. You can check out their interactive website. All kinds of stuff going on there. Oscar Valdez news, nutrition news, you name it. It's all going on the interactive website of the World Boxing Council at WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stick along for the ride. 2 hours today on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. And, of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
Little tease upcoming. The return of the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Self, Mr. Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Larry Merchant, in about 10, 12 minutes here on the Sports Byline Broadcast. Now, if you'd like to talk to Larry, you know, Larry had a rough time. I mean, he's had a rough time health-wise, and because he's 90 years old, and when you get a cold in your 90, you get laryngitis in your 90, it's like, it ain't pretty. And, of course, living in the world of COVID, doesn't it? He and the godmama have dodged COVID down there in Santa Monica, California, but at the end of the day, he's 90, and it was a tough road, I think, moving for him, and, of course, he got sick, and at the end of the day, he's back. We'll talk with him in just a few minutes here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Now, last night across the pond, Conor Benn, of course, the son of Nigel Benn, now 19 and zip, 12K as a 10-round decision winner over Adrian Granados. Granados came in at 21-8, no surprise to watch him leave at 21-9 with 3 draws and 15 whacks. Anyway, the bottom line is scores were a rout. 190 means a shutout, 99-91 means 9 rounds to 1, and 97-93 means 7 rounds to 3. Bottom line is, it looks like it was a bit of a rout. Of course, that was, I believe, on DAZN. The weekend of boxing, a bit sparse. Of course, Josh Warrington battling to a technical draw, so we won't get into that a little bit later. Of course, the USC had a card last night, but since Dana White's on my spit list, and that's spit with an H, we don't mention his shows too often here. I mean, we do the minimum when it comes to the USC. And why do I? People say to me, you know, I want to hear a little bit more about the USC. Gotta go elsewhere. Why do I say that? Because I'm not into pimping. I mean, if I was a cop, I know what pimps are. Dana White's the biggest pimp I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he makes those cops on the streets, I mean, those pimps on the streets in the county, streets of San Francisco back in the days. I mean, he makes them seem like great businessmen. I kid you not. Cause they were giving the girls some money. You know, Dana gives them like 10 cents on the dollar, 8 to 10 cents on the dollar, maybe 12 cents. Now he's trying to brag and say he gives them 18 cents on the dollar. In other words, if the USC brings in $290 million, only 18% of that is going to the fighters. What's going on? What's wrong with that? I mean, if you're getting lit up and getting destroyed week after week, I mean, these guys, and once you get into one of these death matches, you're never the same. I mean, these UFC fighters, when I see them at these different events, this and that, one eye, listen, once in a while, you would see boxers where their eyes would go off. In other words, they have crooked eyes, like Shane Mosley, James Page, people like that, and my dog and them, putting them out in public like this. But the bottom line is, the eyes were a little off. In other words, you look straight at them and like one eye's looking off the other way, you know? In MMA, I see that early. Why? Because of the force of the blows they're taking. I mean, you're getting hit in the head with elbows and kicked in the head with shin to chin. They knocked some dude out last week in 17 seconds. Yikes! I mean, good Lord! He got paid, you know, $5,000. $5,000 or $10,000. That's what he made for getting knocked out, waking up in another time zone. Bottom line is, Dana White is a pimp of pimps. I don't need to go into that too deep. Of course, let's go back last week, of course, Tyron Woodley. The former UFC champion taking on Jake Paul. Give Jake Paul his props. People are dogging Jake Paul. I'm not dogging Jake Paul anymore. Anybody can sell 16,000 tickets, and that includes Jesse James Leha. He talked about, well, I sold 67,000 seats in the Alamo Dome. Yeah, but that was your hometown. You were defending the world championship. You were the real deal. Jake Paul's not the real deal. We're not trying to say that Jake Paul's going to be the next Hector Camacho. We're not saying that. He's not going to be the next Macho Man. He's not going to be even the next Mike Tyson, okay? But he's a four-round... He's better than a lot of people fighting nowadays. I kid you not. I mean, he has basic skills. He knows how to hold real, real good. Whoever taught him how to hold, I mean, really, must have been James Bonehugger Smith or Bone Crusher Smith, the way he held on to Mike Tyson for 11 rounds. He held on to Mike for 11 rounds. I'm screaming at him, throw a punch. In the 12th round, Bone Crusher throws a punch. Mike gets wobbled. Fight could have been changed if Bone Crusher had thrown some punches earlier on. Anyway, Jake Paul knows how to hold. I mean, smart. When he gets roughed up, he grabs, he holds. Smart, educated guy, no doubt about that. A four-round fighter, maybe a six-round fighter. But you know, he's not going to win a world championship. And if he does, it'll be a hell of a fluke, no doubt about that. But anyway, he was a winner last week, and they did over 2 million buys on pay-per-view. So if you do over 2 million buys and you sell 16,000 tickets, you can talk all the spit you want. Nice, I mean spit with an H. You just can. So Jake Paul, talk all the smack you want. He told Tyron Woodley, said, I want a rematch. He said, okay, tattoo I love Jake Paul on your chest. And the dude was like, he said he was going to do it. He was going to do it for, that's how much I guess he needs of money. But they made $2 million each. I mean, guys in the UFC don't make $2 million. I mean, when's the last time a UFC fighter made $2 million? I think I have to go back a long, long ways. If there's ever been a time when a UFC fighter's walked away with $2 million off the top. And what did he do, Jake Paul? He gave $1 million to the undercard. This was so cool. I thought this was Ali-ish. And I'm not trying to put him in the same category as Muhammad Ali or anything like that, but the fact that he was kicking down money to the undercard. Listen, the undercard are the most vastly underpaid people in the entire world. Some of those people are working for like $100 a round. I kid you not. $100 a round, $200 a round, maybe make $1,000 to appear in a 4-round fight if you're the opponent and things like that. So when he threw $1 million at the undercard, Hector and I said, you know what? That guy deserves some props. He threw $1 million of his own money at the undercard. More power to him. Got to give him some props, Jake Paul. So if he wants to come back and box again, I'm all for it. As long as he doesn't want to box me because, you know, I am retired. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking your inside look into the world of boxing and a little MMA, a little UFC. We just dogged the UFC pretty good. Uncle Dana, my favorite pimp. No doubt about that. Anyway. The Godfather coming up after the break, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant making his first appearance on Ring Talk in about 4 or 5 months. So we look forward to that. After the break, it's Larry Merchant and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. We're rocking and rolling on WBC TV.
So you don't want to fight me again?
I will.
I do. You the one that got wobbled, almost sent through the rope.
Tattoo.
You're not scared of running back.
If you get the tattoo, I love Jake Paul. Let's run it back.
Bet.
Let's go.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I guarantee you there's no problem.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
like a sex machine, man. Yeah. Moving, doing it, you know. Yeah. Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four.
The Godfather of Soul, James Brown, means the retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant is in the house. A very good morning to you, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you, Pedro. Where have you been?
Well, you know, I've been hanging out. I went on a bender. You know me. I'm a big drunk. I was drinking for 3 or 4 months.
Well, no surprise.
Not exactly.
I hope you're all right.
Well, I'll put it this way. I quit drinking for at least during the show.
Well, I guess that's an improvement.
Exactly. I do want to clarify this. So I haven't had a drink in over 2 years, and I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just my family are, I want to mention this, my family are so, both grandfathers, my father, my mother, all my uncles, but one, bottom line is, I stay away from that booze. Anyway, Godfather, you sound good. How's life treating you?
Pretty well. It's another perfect day down in Santa Monica as I look down at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Things could be worse.
Okay. You know, it's funny that we were talking a couple of weeks ago before Manny Pacquiao took on Yuri Ugas, of course, the Cuban national that beat him. And you and I were talking about his early days, the fact that he was an unknown guy when he came in and fought Ledwo Luaba. Of course, I think it was in 2001 or 2000. He was an unknown guy, called in at the last minute, and you said to me, wouldn't it be ironic if he went out the way he came in? And that looks like it might be the script.
Well, that was an opponent that was in condition to fight and not the kind of guy you choose to fight if you don't have to. He's a solid craftsman, and he fought a smart fight, and he just beat the guy. He just was a better fighter on that night, and now, of course, we have all the questions of the future.
But you and I know when it comes to boxing or athletics in general, Father Time is undefeated.
Well, Father Time is undefeated for everybody. So boxers may have a shorter lifespan as boxers, but Father Time will get us all.
You know, last week this YouTuber guy, Jake Paul, drew 16,000 people into an arena in Cleveland, Ohio, and he drew over 2 million people on pay-per-view, and I'm not going to slam him. I mean, anybody that can sell tickets like that and turn over the revenue that he has, because people say to me, oh, it was a bit of a farcical main event, this and that. But the semi-main event allowed Amanda Serrano, a Puerto Rican woman from New York City, to display her skills in front of a crowd, a bigger crowd than she has ever had in her entire life. So it gave her some money. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but this guy Jake Paul threw $1 million at the undercard. In other words, he threw $1 million of his own money at the undercard in order to supplement their purses. I haven't heard too many guys doing that before, if ever.
Well, that is a first for me, and maybe his accountant told him that it was okay to do.
Okay. Why is it you always find the financial aspect of it? Oscar De La Hoya is in the hospital.
Well, what are these exhibitions? What are these low grade pay per view fights? They're fighting to fight and to make money. And the money influences the matchmaking. It influences everything that goes on except what goes on inside the ring. So, how can we ignore it?
Good point. Good point. Well, and the fact that they did over 2 million buys on pay-per-view was a mind blower to me. I said, well, you know, the guy can draw 16,000 people in his hometown. I said, that's quite an accomplishment. When I found out they did over 2 million buys, I said to myself, yikes, there's 2 million people.
Well, what was the price of the fight?
I think it was $50.
Well, 2 million buys is,
that's a lot of money.
I mean, it's a lot of money, yeah. Well, that's why they do it. And if the pandemic and other things going on have limited boxing at the moment, then people are finding a way to make a pretty good living. And we have, of course, what we call the nostalgia circuit, although I've heard that Oscar De La Hoya has left it for the moment.
Oscar De La Fishnets, Oscar De La Fishnets has backed out. He claimed he got COVID. He was vaccinated, he said, and he still got COVID. I don't know if that's really, and he's in the hospital. But the bottom line is we wish him a speedy recovery. But, you know, Godfather, this is what I was, and I asked you this yesterday. Even if he was going to come in as a light heavyweight, he was fighting a guy that walks around, that used to fight in the MMA world, and he was real trim at 205 pounds, this guy Vitor Belfort. The mere fact that a former middleweight, in Oscar De La Hoya, he retired as a middleweight, but so we'll call him that, a former middleweight, is replaced by a heavyweight in Evander Holyfield, that's a little shady for me. You see what I'm saying? How do you replace a welterweight or a middleweight with a heavyweight?
Well, if 15 or 20 years ago they'd have told you that one day one would replace the other, you would ask him to have a drink.
Okay. Speaking of having a drink, looks like Canelo Alvarez and
can I get something in here?
I'm sorry, sir.
Regarding the Oscar situation, inevitably, because so much money is involved, we have to look at it through that prism. And when he announces that he's had COVID, etc., you have to be, at least if you're a reporter, somewhat suspicious that how much money was in the till. Were people really paying enough for Oscar to risk his reputation? I wonder. And I will tell you that my explorations tell me that people who were going to put the fight on are also a little suspicious of why Oscar It suddenly got the COVID.
Well, I would say to this, you know, size matters in combat sports, and this guy was much bigger than Oscar. And of course, a few weeks ago, Julio Cesar Chavez was beating one of these cross sport fights by an MMA guy who was like bigger than him. So size matters, and this guy was going to be bigger than Oscar. So maybe there is some merit to that. Tyson Fury, the world heavyweight champion, of course, still in the UK, about to hit the United States in the next couple of weeks. He's been, he's an emotional roller coaster. Do you think he can hold it together? I mean, because you told me, I remember when you approached Muhammad Ali after Mike Tyson won the title, he said to you, yeah, he won the title, but how long can he keep it and this and that? And I'm sort of pushing that question at you regarding Tyson Fury, because I don't know if all this layoff has done him and his emotionally sometime unstable self well.
Well, he comes from an unusual background as an Irish traveler. He's out there in our world now, and we don't know. He's just got one fight to win to convince us, and whether he's used his time to try to win that fight, or whether Wilder is going to out hustle him and out punch him. That's the story of the fight. But he is, he is vulnerable. And he's made a lot of money, and we don't know how he's going to handle all of what comes down in this fight.
Okay. Hector just shot you a text. Hector says, if you think that the Oscar De La Hoya pullout was a bit suspicious, how about Errol Spence? Week after the fight was canceled, or after the fight took place, he's cleared to fight again.
Really?
Yep, he's cleared to fight again.
Well, what's that about?
Well, they said it wasn't a detached retina, it was a bruised retina or something like that.
Well, I don't know what to say. When you have one of these MMA boxing contests, and a lot goes into the making of the fight, the promotion of the fight, etc. sometimes strange things are happening.
You know, I got a question for you. I'm going to have Christine Martin on in hour number two, of course, the former ladies champion, and she was both shot and stabbed by her husband, and she survived.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, she's got a movie out called Deal with the Devil. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I've seen it. Have you?
No. Was it good?
Yeah, get a hold of it.
All right, I was supposed to watch it pre-show, but my somebody kept me anyway. Bottom line is, I didn't get the time. But she's gonna be like, what do you? How good was she for that time? I mean, the fact that she was able to bring women's boxing to the forefront to an extent, and she was like a cheap undercard for a cheap semi-main event for Don King and those Mike Tyson and Julio Cesar Chavez fights. Because I don't think Don paid her anything what she was worth. But the bottom line is, she made a little bit of an impact there. What do you think? What are your thoughts on Christy Martin?
Well, she got on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I went down to Florida, I guess it was, to spend some time with her and interview her and watch her work out. I was extremely impressed by her techniques, that she, to put it in this way, she fought like a guy, and she knew how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what impressed a lot of people and brought her the rest of her life on.
Yeah.
She made some money. She was a good athlete, but her domestic situation wasn't so hot, and her old husband is sitting in jail.
Hey, Godfather, he was one of the, you know, you and I encounter a lot of strange people in the business. There's no doubt about it. But he was always an odd bird. You know what I mean? He never struck. I always knew something was wrong with that guy. I just knew he was a little off.
You know what? When I went down there and spent some time, I never saw him. I didn't know the whole backstory of their relationship, that he had raised her to be a good fighter and then romanced her, I guess. But she's had an interesting life, and I advise seeing the movie, which is more of a documentary than based on a true story.
Okay. Heavyweight championship goes down October 9th in Las Vegas. Of course, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Is there any, and somebody shot me a text here for you, is there any indication this fight would be any different from the first two?
Well, if it's any different than the first two, I'm trying to figure out what that could be.
For the most part, Tyson Fury won most of the rounds.
Well, Tyson Fury won most of the rounds in the first fight, using the style that had gotten him to that fight, which was a 6'8" or 9" guy boxing and knowing how to box and using his length and so on. He got a draw out of it despite the fact that he was knocked down twice.
The second fight,
the rematch couldn't have been any different. He just went after Fury and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, went after Wilder and beat the hell out of him. Anyway, Godfather, I wish you the best. Kiss the God, Ma. Give her a big hug for me, and we'll talk soon.
Take care, Pedro.
Welcome back. The return of the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant. I couldn't be happier right now, and there's no doubt about it. Of course, hour number two still to come. The coal miner's daughter, Christy Martin, she'll talk about how she survived being both shot and stabbed and promoted by Don King. Three things we'll put to her right away, of course, in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. I want to mention the people on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. My man in St. Louis, I'm talking about Main Event Matt. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Chris Eubank Jr. coming back October 2nd. Looks like that might be on Sky Sports. Speaking of Sky Sports, Clarissa Shields signed with Sky Sports. Why? We'll talk about that after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk and WBC TV.
I feel nice.
Come on, everybody. Have another drink already.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power.
so long.
Superfly, my mother said it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. But guess what? I found out she stole that line from Muhammad Ali. Mom was a plagiarist. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Well, I check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, boxing's rocking and rolling. Of course, next week, the world champion, 130 pounds, the WBC title holder, the linear champion. I'm talking about the man that beat Miguel Burchelt as a 5-1 underdog, Oscar Valdez. Of course, a 2-time Mexican Olympian, undefeated now, like 30 fights. Of course, a champion, 126 pounds. Now, the WBC title holder, 130 pounds, takes on a young man next week that beat him in the Pan Am Games, I think about 8 or 10 years ago. So they have this big amateur rivalry. It's Robson Canseco. He's from Brazil. So this is going to rock and roll in the main event, September the 10th, I believe, on ESPN. It says September 11th here, but I'm thinking it's the 10th. I was told it was the 10th. Anyway, the 10th, the 11th. Bottom line is Oscar Valdez is going to defend that title next week. It'll be on Saturday. So if Saturday's the 11th, yeah, it's the 11th. Oscar Valdez versus Robson Canseco. Now, Oscar De La Hoya, of course, according to Larry Merchant, pulled out of this fight. He has COVID and that kind of good stuff. Listen, Oscar De La Fishness was about to get destroyed. He was going to get brutalized by this guy. This guy was going to beat him up so bad if they were gay, he'd be arrested for domestic violence. I mean, I'm telling you, Oscar was about to get destroyed. And you know, wait, what kills me is this one. Oscar is, you know, I told you about the, you know, him and the hooker. Remember the Russian hooker that I interviewed that time back around 2007, 2008? They said that Oscar liked kits. And when I buy a girl a kit, I buy her like, you know, the stockings and the negligee. That's what it is. That's what a kit is. A kit is a negligee. So this girl used to tell me that when Oscar would say to her, hey, baby, we're going to meet in like Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., wherever it happened to be, Pittsburgh, bring me a kit. Get me a kit. So that meant she would get Oscar, you know, some girl's clothes. So Oscar would dress up in some girl's clothes. So now we found out why Oscar was so inclined to be such a prolific cross-dresser. He was sexually abused. He said he was raped at the age of 13. That's what he came out with a couple of days ago. Oscar, why would you say that? I mean, now listen, there's some things that are better left unknown. I mean, that would have been better left. Who did you want? I mean, the bottom line is he needed to get in the news about something. He was pulling out of this fight. He needed something to counter the fact that he wasn't going to get in this fight. So he came up with I got raped when I was 13 years old. I mean, come on, you couldn't come up with something better than that? Like, maybe my kid's gonna, graduate from high school? I mean, you know, something significant. Not that you got raped, man. You got punked. Everybody sort of hinted at that for a long time. Bob Arum used to say, your promoter used to say that, he used to say things like that to, Vince Caruso and other people that, you know, that you weren't the most macho guy in the entire world, that you one day were this and one day were that. But the bottom line is, you know, I remember when you got sued for sexual assault down there in Cancun. When you met that 17 or 18 year old girl down there in Cancun, of course, on vacation, you and her rumbled between the sheets. And of course, she said it wasn't too cool. And you said it was. And the bottom line is, of course, then they put you on a deposition. They put you under oath. And of course, no. They asked his lawyer, do you know who this girl is? And he said, wait, you got to be more specific. Oscar's been in bed with 150 girls in the last year. So you got to be more specific than just a name and a place. I kid you not. That's Oscar De La Hoya. Anyway, Oscar De La Fishness, call him what you want, but he pulled out of the fight next week, of course, with Vitor Belfort. He said it would not be an exhibition, and when he said that, I said to myself, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. Vitor Belfort is a naturally bigger dude. I mean, a naturally bigger dude. He fought guys like Rampage Jackson and Chuck Liddell and people like that, so he's a naturally bigger 205-pound guy. So what kind of weight was Oscar getting him down to fight? Whatever it was, Oscar was going to be at a physical disadvantage, and he was going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. That's why Oscar pulled out of this fight. I don't think it was COVID. Yeah, good little act going on there. You know, you go to the hospital, you play it off, the insurance companies maybe pay off, and they help the promoter out because the main event pulled out. But you still got to remember this. Still got to realize this. A heavyweight replaced him. What does that say? How can a heavyweight replace a welterweight? How can a heavyweight replace a middleweight? How can a heavyweight replace a light heavyweight? And Oscar wasn't even a light heavyweight. He was a middleweight last time out. But even at this time, if he fought at 175 pounds, if Oscar was that heavy and fought at 175, he's not that big of a guy. Vitor Belfort is. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, Vitor was probably going to hurt Oscar, and that's why Oscar pulled out. Anyway, Oscar Valdez, of course, next week coming to us from Tucson, Arizona. Of course, Tucson, Arizona, if you get a chance to go down there to this, the AVA Amphitheater at Casino del Sol, meaning if the casino's throwing it, you could probably get in there and like pull some type of a scam, buy a few drinks, or give you a free ticket, something like that. Go down there in advance and find out, because this is like his second hometown. This is the second hometown of Oscar Valdez. Of course, he was born in Mexico, but his father and mother brought him to the United States early on. They settled in Tucson, Arizona. That's why he speaks English better than Hector Martinez. But the bottom line is, he speaks perfect English. I mean, there's no indication he has any accent or he's Mexican or anything like that. Bottom line is, he sounds like some kid on a skateboard from Tucson, Arizona. So hopefully next week, if he defends his title, we can get him on the day of the show the following day. That's what the PR people are expecting right now. That's what we're hoping for. Clarissa Shields, remember her? Pound for pound, they say she's the best woman in the world. If she's the best woman in the world, I give up on women. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, as far as fighting is concerned, because she does nothing for me, man. I mean, to get up for her, I have to take you have to shoot me up with Viagra. I couldn't take enough pills to get up for Clarissa Shields. Just couldn't do it. You know, and she's undefeated, and she's a WBC champion. So somebody said, oh, you're knocking the WBC champion. Yeah, okay. She just doesn't do it for me. She doesn't entertain me, okay? Amanda Serrano last week, more power to the Puerto Rican American. Of course, coming through, taking care of a young lady that was a WBC champion, 122 pounds, Miss Granados, I believe. Of course, and it was a good little fight. It was a good 10-round exhibition. People that watch boxing and appreciate boxing were able to appreciate her skills. I mean, Larry Merchant talked about Christy Martin's skills. Well, the Christy Martin of today is probably Amanda Serrano. Of course, she was a winner last week, and that gave her, that Jake Paul stage gave her the biggest stage she could ever imagine in her life. Because, you know, even though she's from New York and she performed in Madison Square Garden at one point in time, MSG, the Garden, okay, she never had that kind of eyeballs on her before. So now with all those eyeballs on her, I think she's going to do real well as far as the future is concerned. Anyway, Valdez, of course, tested positive for a banned substance during competition, but it's not banned during training. So he was technically during training, so it doesn't count. And it was a stimulant, something to get you up for during training, but it's not a anabolic steroid. It wouldn't be considered a performance enhancing drug per se. I mean, what he took a month and a half ago is not going to improve his performance or enhance his performance next week against Mr. Conceal. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, he's a champion at 130, and we'll see what happens next week when he steps into the ring. Of course, Eddie Reynoso's got him. Eddie Reynoso's got Ryan Garcia. Eddie Reynoso's got Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Canelo Alvarez is going to go, what is it, November the 4th or the 6th? I think it's the 6th. Anyway, he's going to go with Caleb Plant. Caleb Plant, most undisturbing title holder on the planet. I mean, you're walking into all kinds of millions of dollars because you were in the right place at the right time. Okay. You try to say, you know, I was a tough guy during negotiations, or, you know, I wouldn't let Canelo walk all over me and this kind of good stuff. No, no. It was like this. Canelo and those guys didn't want to sign a long time pay-per-view contract with you guys. So in other words, he sort of gave you guys the middle finger. I'm showing you the thumb, but he gave you the middle finger. He said, you know, it ain't going to work. So they canceled the September date, and you try to say it was all on you. No. Caleb Plant, I give you props for negotiating yourself into a multi-million dollar deal. There's no doubt about it. You're going to make some money here. But guess what? Afterwards, we're not going to know you for anything other than the guy that got beat up by Canelo Alvarez. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, Oscar Valdez, Ryan Garcia. Oscar Valdez in action next week. Ryan Garcia. Still no date on the return, of course, of the chosen one. I call him the chosen one, the gifted one. Hector's probably pulling out his hair right now. Everybody, Socrates Palmer, the same thing, boxes PhD. Everybody dogs my guy Ryan Garcia, because Larry Merchant dogged him. Larry said he was a head case. I mean, come on. He has anxiety attacks. Anybody who's ever had an anxiety attack knows what I'm talking about. They really like it. It's like being in a car and you can't drive. You're not driving the car. The car's just driving. Okay? And he had his emotional issues. I think that, possibly the fact that he's got a girlfriend that's pregnant, going to have a baby and all kind of good stuff. The pressure was mounting on him. And of course, you know, he had this fight coming up with Javier Fortuna, which was canceled when he said he was suffering from depression, anxiety. And of course, the WBC has been behind him as far as his recovery is concerned. Mauricio says he's like 100%. He's back in training. So more power to him. But Ryan Garcia, I'm still got my flag in Ryan Garcia's life, land. And I still think he's going to be the guy. Of course, Tank Davis destroyed the WBA champion about a month ago. Of course, he is the guy at 140 now, 135 and 130 as far as the WBA, the World Boxing Association, is concerned. And speaking of the WBA, I have to mention this, that I am sponsored by the World Boxing Council. So when I say this and I slam the WBA, I said that before. I said it first, okay? A little disclaimer there. But the bottom line is, they're getting spanked. They're giving up their interim titles. They're changing their rules and this and that. Why? Because the Association of Boxing Commissions was about to slam the door on these guys. In fact, you were the WBA, the World Boxing, I call them the World Boxing Association, or the World of Bunko and Anarchy, call it what you want. But the bottom line is, they are headquartered, of course, down in Panama and Venezuela. That's where the base is, and that's why you see guys from Southern California doing so well in WBA-sanctioned fights, as far as getting title fights in this net. But the World Boxing Association has been forced to revamp all the rules according to the Association of Boxing Commission rules. More power to them. The Muhammad Ali Act is being put in force here. I mean, that's what it was for. Back in 1996, when Senator John McCain, the late Senator John McCain of Arizona, of course, the guy that ran for president in 2008, but my buddy, of course, we had McCain and I had like a good times and bad times, because I mean, I'd call his office and I'm screaming at the lady answer, who was a lady answering the phone for the most part, and I was I was trying to tell about the corruption going on in Arizona boxing, this and that, and he sort of looked at it a little bit, and he didn't look at it a little bit, and then he called me one time, and then he put me on hold this for a long time, and he came on, he talked for like 60 seconds, and that was all there was to it. I thought the idea was to keep me on hold so long I would hang up, but the bottom line is I wouldn't hang up, and he spent about 60 to 90 seconds when we were discussing the corruption down there, and there was corruption going rampant as far as boxing in Arizona was concerned. Fixed fights, fixed medical exams, you name it, guys coming in to fight that weren't medically cleared and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, it was hot and it was happening in Arizona. Of course, Arizona was a place that I'm walking a picket line. I mean, I'm Mr. GQ. I'm looking better than Bruno Mars, 24 karat gold. I kid you not. So I'm checking it out. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm leading a picket line at 10 o'clock in the morning before it gets too hot now. I know better than that. So I got a nice suit on, a nice light summer suit and the whole nine yards, suit and tie, cufflinks, the whole nine yards, looking very GQ. And all of a sudden, we were picketing the athletic commission and the Arizona Attorney General because of the corruption in boxing. So anyway, there was these guys with these picket signs that were anti-us. In other words, they were saying we were the pro guys, they were the anti-guys. So the anti-guys were like, causing a bit of a hassle. So I looked at these guys and said to myself, these are three guys that I can buy. There's no doubt about it. So I went over to them and gave them each $150 to leave and give me their signs. So they left and they gave me their signs. So I took their signs and went back to my little headquarters and set them down on a bench. And before I knew it, five police cars came in on me. Five different police cars. All the, freeze! Freeze? Free for what? Free. You're under arrest. You're being detained. I mean, that's what I hear. All these guys screaming different stuff. I don't know what's going on here, but I know the athletic commission, the guy that runs the athletic commission, John Montana, is looking out his window, and he's probably calling the cops, get him to come out on me. Anyway, it wasn't that. Somebody said it was an anonymous call to the police that brought these people down. What they said was that I took those picket signs away from those picketers at gunpoint. First it was gunpoint with one cop, with knife pointing another cop. I assaulted these people with another cop. Bottom line is, they didn't have no idea what they're doing. They were looking to rouse me. And after about 10 minutes in the sun, I said to them, mother duckers, either we're going to arrest me or I'm going. What's going to happen? And I walked away. But the bottom line is, those guys, they did their very best to detain me. There's no doubt about it. The Arizona cops, the state police down there in front of the Capitol, the worst ever. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Hour number two forthcoming, of course. The coal miner's daughter, Christy Martin, unplugged on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Vintage Tower of Power to the break.
Do you have a bodyguard? Do you have?
No.
You don't?
I got one bodyguard. He has no eyes, though he sees. He has no ears, though he hears. He remembers everything with the aid of mind and memory. When he wishes to create a thing, he just orders it to be and it comes into existence. But this order is not conveyed in words which takes a tongue to formulate or with sound carries ears. He hears the secrets of those on the quiet thoughts. He stops those whom, who's that? That's God, Allah. He's my bodyguard. He's your bodyguard. He's the supreme.
Muhammad Ali talking religion. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Or why check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Upcoming fights. Of course, De La Hoya's off. He's in the hospital. You know, Oscar De La Fishtense, I give him a bad time, but let's be honest. Pound for pound, at one point in time, Oscar was a man. I mean, 1992 Olympic gold medalist came out, won that WBO title at 130 pounds. That was sort of like against Jimmy Bredell. It was sort of like, you know, 135, 140, 147, of course, 154, 160. Of course, made his match at 160 when he hooked up with Bernard Hopkins. I'll never forget that. I was the only one that bet on Hopkins. I'm not a big fight. I don't bet on fights, okay? But cinch domino fights you're going to bet on. I mean, cinches. And Oscar had cut his hand. The week, like 3 days before the fight, they had to put stitches in here in his left hand. That was his power hand. So I didn't think he was able to close his hand the way he wanted to because they had stitches in there. But they didn't talk about it. Not too many people knew about it. The fight was allowed to go forward. But the bottom line was I ran to the betting parlor and I threw down $500, I think it almost 3-1. At the end of the day, I walked away with a big fat paycheck. But guess what? There was long lines all the way around the casino to make the bets. There was no lines to collect. Nobody bet on Hopkins but me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USD channel. I want to say hey to my main event, Matt, down there in St. Louis, Missouri. You are listening to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. Stay tuned for hour number two after news. We'll bring in the coal miner's daughter, the baddest woman pound for pound ever born. I'm talking about Christy Martin. And no, not because she boxed, because somebody shot her and stabbed her, and she's alive to talk about it. That and more after the news on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.